Let us pray. Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you this day. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Back in seminary, I had a professor who was adored for her sermons. She was able to captivate students, fellow professors, chaplains, and world-weary priests with her words. She had a way of making the scripture come alive, setting the scene and giving depth to the characters at play. Now, if you could believe it, studying the ins and outs of writing a sermon involves listening to hours of other people preach. But her sermons never seemed to drag on. Rather, they would build and build to a beautiful crescendo and meaningful conclusion. Even years later, I can recall with detail the emotional pull I felt while hearing her preach. I believe Luke would have enjoyed her sermons. I think he would have appreciated the ways she would side with the congregation, inviting them to study the story with her, looking back at them as if to say, "And if you think that was crazy, just wait what happens next." It seems Luke, similar to that homiletic professor, would have excelled in an improv group, really getting into the exercise of building on what has come before with a yes and. In improv, using the yes and pushes the action forward. It affirms what has already been done while also leading the audience into the next action. One improv group describes yes and as listening and seeing the other person, accepting what they are doing, yes, and adding a detail or offer back to them. In Luke's gospel, Elizabeth and Mary meet in the hill country, each of them coming with news for the other, the stage set for a biblical yes and improv sketch. Yes and. Yes, Elizabeth is the wife of the priest Zechariah. And Zechariah is acting strange. He went to work a few weeks ago and came back completely unable to speak. Yes, Elizabeth and Zechariah have not had any children. And Elizabeth is now dealing with a husband who can't talk and some symptoms that can only mean a surprise pregnancy a little later in life than she had expected. Yes. Elizabeth is excited by the changes in her body and what this pregnancy means for her family. And she is also weary. She goes into seclusion for several months leading up to this visit from her cousin Mary. The writer of Luke's gospel loved building on parallels. They loved stories that compare and contrast the characters at play, using their different backgrounds and experiences to highlight how miraculous Christ's work is in their lives. Later in his gospel, Luke will tell the story of two women whose bodies are used to demonstrate Christ's power. The story of the hemorrhaging woman runs parallel to the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. By reaching out and touching the hem of his cloak, the pain of the woman's 12 years of bleeding is ended. By the touch of Christ's hand, a dead girl is told to get up, and her spirit is returned. Yes, there is pain. And through faith, there is hope. In this passage from Luke today, we see a different set of women. And similar to the hemorrhaging woman and Jairus' daughter, Our pair today are also on opposite ends of the spectrum of childbearing years. Their ages and bodies signal the first hints of how Christ will transform their world. Yes, Luke uses women's bodies to convey to the reader a rough idea of who these women are. And when Mary begins to speak, it is not her body that magnifies the Lord, but her soul. Yes, the child in Elizabeth's womb physically leaps at Mary's greeting. And when Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed art thou among women," it is the Holy Spirit that has filled her with those words. This is a delicate passage for some. Yes, the season of Advent and the upcoming holidays means precious time with loved ones and creating cherished memories. It is also a reminder of the pain of uncertainty. From some pulpits today, Mary's Magnificat is a testimony of the miracle of the child in Elizabeth's barren womb, of the miraculous birth by a virgin. Somewhere today, this passage will be interpreted to say women's bodies are blessed or favored based on their ability to bear children. Today, in this space, after prayer and study, I invite us to interpret it to say yes. All that has been said. And if you put that as the focus, you may miss the point. Growing up, I had the unique experience of attending Catholic elementary school in both Episcopal and Presbyterian churches on Sundays. It took a long time for me to feel confident reaching for that bread of heaven, if you can believe it. There wasn't a lot that I got from Catholic school. It was more of a listen for the message, leave the mess experience for me. But I did appreciate praying the Hail Mary prayer. I liked that she had her own prayer, that she stood apart, that she was someone people could seek out and look to for protection and guidance. That changed a bit when I finally saw the prayer written out. Because up until that point, I had thought the line was not, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb," but "Blessed is the fruit of thy loom." It would make sense. It would make a lovely callback to Psalm 139, the whole, "You knit me together in my mother's womb" verse. Really, I think my mind gravitated to loom over womb, partly because I sometimes struggle with the humanity present in the gospel. It's easier for me to look at the Magnificat and God's acts proclaimed boldly. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Those are divine promises. That gets you excited for the birth of our coming Lord. Yes! And spoken by two women very much in the midst of their humanity, bellies swollen, concerned about their husbands and what people may think, hoping and praying together in a town in the hill country of Judea. Luke holds divinity and humanity in such balance that the women's exchange seamlessly moves from two women greeting each other, each with her own experience of pregnancy and promise, to declarations of God's transformative social and political acts throughout generations. Yes, Luke affirms all that is promised and urges Mary, Elizabeth, and us to continue looking down that line of transformation that reverberates into our lives today. Yes, the divine. and the humanity. This exchange between Mary and Elizabeth hits on so many levels. For those that feel that their time of usefulness has passed, for the concerns about aging bodies, uncertainty in faith, fear of changes, the weariness that comes from isolation. This is a passage of connection and promise that comes in the most unlikely of places. It's in the tension of the yes and of the affirmation and continuation that we find God at work. It's in the moment of yes and that we live, constantly affirming the miracles and pain, the joy and hesitation. Advent is a season of preparation, of wonder, and of expectation. It's also a season that for some might mean wanting some time in seclusion like Elizabeth, just to have some space to make sense of what is happening in their life and the world around them. Yes, we can be joyful and a bit overwhelmed. Yes, we can wonder at the divinity, and we can sit with the uncertainty that comes with our humanity, as long as we remember that God is with us. Yes, and Amen.